This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast. Everybody, welcome to another board game edition of the MFG Cast. This topic is going to be expansions. We're going to kind of go in depth on some things that maybe we think games that work well with the expansions that they have, games that probably don't need the expansions, even though it's great to have expansions anyway, I feel like, with most games. Some expansions that maybe don't really give as much gameplay to the base game as you'd think, and expansions that are great, like some of our favorite
that complement the base game.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So I'd like to bring the first one to our attention,
like the game's going to be in trouble.
Yes.
I'd like to bring it to everyone's attention that this game is in trouble.
Yeah. Actually, it's the other way around.
Are we jumping right into the topic?
We're not
talking about what we've been playing or anything.
Well. Like that? Funny you may mention that, because
oh my god, we didn't even plan this segue.
This is a game that we've actually played fairly recently, so I thought it would just it would just pop right into the episode.
Okay.
But we got the Plague we got the Plague expansion for Orleans, which is one of my favorite games of all. Actually, my favorite game of all time. I don't know why I always tend to go one of my favorites. It is my favorite game. I little side note, I had found, I'm not going to put them on the spot, but I had found out that a designer that I really enjoy, he doesn't really care for Orleans because he thinks that there's not enough player interaction between the players and the game. It feels like you're just doing your own thing and not interacting with the other players. I tend to disagree there because I feel like with Orleans, I feel like you still kind of have to go in player order and stuff like that, because there are some things on some players' boards that if you get to a certain place first, that you'll get a certain thing and then other people won't. But I can understand where he comes from. I disagree. I feel like this game is amazing, and I feel like it's got good player interaction. And it probably depends upon the players that you're playing with, too. Sorry to interrupt it. Go ahead.
That's okay. But isn't it also the game that he created, one of the games he created, is quite cutthroat too when it comes to some things, isn't
yes
it?
Yes.
So I mean, maybe that more gotcha game where I think Orleans has bits and pieces of it, because you are kind of racing against each other to get some of those citizens so you can multiply your points and things like that. So but I mean, I can see where he's coming from, but doesn't stop me from not liking it.
Yeah, for sure. Too. But so for the people that haven't played Orleans, it's basically you are traveling around, it's like France, isn't it? Because Orleans is based in France, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, and so like you're doing, it's a bag builder, so you're doing multiple things. You're moving your little traveler along the board. You are also collecting goods. You're also
adding workers or people to your bag to help you along the way.
Yep. And then when you actually grab those, what workers are, they call them followers.
I couldn't think of that.
You also get the bonus or whatever for when you grab those for the different certain spaces. So like sometimes you get coins, sometimes you'll get certain tiles that'll help you during the game and stuff like that. And this is a game that the expansions have always been, like, really cool to me. Like, some of them play two players, some have solo, solo scenarios. This one just recently came out, and Capstone Games took over the licensing for Orleans, so they were able to come out with this expansion, which is awesome because I didn't think I'd ever see another Orleans expansion again, so it's awesome to be able to see that. And with this one, I like it because it almost brings more of a... Trying to think, like, not excitement or fear, but it puts a little bit of danger in it, you know?
Well, and it stops you from being able to fill up your market with your followers to be able to do actions because you're being plagued by... what are those called?
There are little plague tokens.
They're plague tokens. Yeah, so yeah. They can... it feels like you're always getting plagued in this. And so they fill up the amount of spaces that you can draw from the bag until you are able to get rid of them. But then also you're trying to work to get rid of them on your board so that you can score points, you can get rid of them, like I said. And but you want to do that, and you could be competing against somebody else to be able to, you know, place something there or get a worker there or something like that. So I feel like it even adds more player interaction with this expansion.
Yeah, yeah.
Potentially. But it does. It is like, oh my gosh, here we go. Now it's giving us another plague. And it definitely adds like a completely different chaotic element to the game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can't remember what the cards are that we kind of all get at the beginning of the game that we can use to get.
They seem like objective
cards. Yeah, they're kind of like objective.
They are kind of.
Yeah, and they're referenced differently. You would know it if you played the game. But, like, you have to do certain things. Like, you have to get rid of a certain amount of goods. You have to get to a certain city. You have to build a trading post or whatever those little houses, guild hall. I think it's different. I think Guild Hall is the action, but then the trading post are the actual pieces. That's why I always get those mixed up, but it's interesting that that's like that.
But either way, like, you want to make sure you accomplish that, because if somebody else builds there, then you can't even finish that.
Yeah, exactly. So you're basically kind of, you're SOL with the card that you just grabbed, and you're like, oh, you know, I really want this. Like, we played half of it on this last Wednesday, so it doesn't matter if you were recording on a Sunday, whatever. It's been a few days. And we're going to finish it this next Wednesday when our group gets together. And one of the ones that Logan was able to get was a 12-pointer. So what you're doing is when you fill up these objective cards, you get points for the card that you get, but also you're at that time when you fill that objective card, you're getting rid of these plague tokens that are on your market, which, you know, hurt you as far as what you can grab and put on your market to do certain actions. It's like a 2-for-1. So it really, really helps to do that. So, you know, it adds a little bit more of a step. What Tracy was kind of saying too, with like some of the event tiles that come out each time are giving you more plague tokens. So it's just like, holy crap. It just...
Well, because there's like one follower space where you can increase the amount of followers that you pull from your bag each round. Well, that's awesome, but as soon as these plagues start coming out and filling up your market, like, I think there was one point where Logan could only pull like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And I think the max you can maybe pull of followers is what, like 6 or 7 or something like that?
7, I think.
And, like, you can't. And, like, it really hinders your turn if you can't do something about it. So you really have to kind of work through that.
Monkey with it, yeah. So this is an example of, like, a game that I think is amazing, but I think it really has been enhanced by the expansions that it has.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't played an expansion for it yet. That included some of all the modules. Like, there are some modules I still haven't played for it, but I guarantee you I'm not gonna not like them because it's just.
Well, and one of them is just increasing the player count, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, and it gives you that fifth player board, which I really wish we had because we played this 5 players and we don't have that fifth player board, whatever you want to say. And it sucks because that fifth player expansion is actually not available almost everywhere. So, yeah. So I'd have to find it like on eBay or something like that. But I think what I might do, and I didn't even think about this, is I might just do a regular color print of it. And then I forgot we have a laminator. So we just laminate it and make our own board.
Yeah.
You know, gotta do what you can. The only thing is now is
I save space because it's nice and thin.
Yeah, it's true. The only thing is I need to find some cubes. I have the black cubes, but now I need to find some little black houses because it's the fifth player color is black. So I want to find some little houses. Maybe I can get from like GameCrafter or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, So you know, we're just I think we can kind of just bop around. I think. We don't have to stick to one thing, you know, that kind of thing. Unless you want to, is there any other expansions to games that you just are like, wow, this is a great addition to this game?
I do like the expansion for Quacks of Quinlanburg.
Yeah.
Boy, I can't say that today. Which is the Herb Witches.
The Herb Witches one, yeah.
Isn't that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Herb Witches.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why that just came to the top of my head, but I think it adds another element with the... Maybe it's not the Herb Witches. Is it the Alchemists?
Those are both expansions. So which one are you talking about?
Well, I guess both of them.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I said Herb Witches, or outside, I said Herb Witches. In my head, I was thinking Alchemist.
Yeah.
But I guess both of them, because they both add some more elements of play, because I think that Quacks is a good game, and some people, again, don't necessarily care for a bag builder, the randomized pull of the tiles and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think adding the Herb Witches for the different types of things that they add to it with the potions are they considered potions?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay. And then with the Alchemists, then they add another portion to your player board and some additional features of that, which are kind of cool.
Yeah.
So if it's kind of getting to be a little bit maybe stale on the base game, you can always add an expansion.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I like both implementations of those expansions too, because the Herb Witches also have abilities and stuff like that too that kind of help you along during the game and stuff like that. So it helps a little bit more trying to mitigate the randomness of pulling from the bag and stuff like that. So you can kind of find ways to do that.
Yes, I thought of one more game.
Yeah, go for it. Let's stay on topic. I thought we were going to jump around, but I think it's probably actually better if we do stay in, the certain category, so I think that's perfect. Go ahead.
Except that I was like, I can see the game, and I can't think of what it's called. Vikings Gone Wild.
Oh, yeah.
We have not played this one in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should bring this one to the table.
Yeah, we keep talking about it. We need to do
that.
Yeah.
I know Mike's played it. Mike's bought you some of the expansions for it.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't introduced it to Jason yet. Hey, Jason! if he's listening. And then, but I think the expansions are cool because there's I think we have a magic expansion, I don't know. Are there four or five expansions?
On here it says 17, but I think it's
17?
I think it's just including promos and stuff like that.
I'm like, what?
But there are a lot of them.
I can see another one that we have that Mike bought you. Is it with Woods or something? No.
So they've got It's a Kind of Magic. That's the one we have.
Yep.
They have Ragnarok, which I've never seen before. They have Guild Wars, which I've never seen. Saga Mega Expansion, I've never seen that one. The other one I think we have is the Master of Elements is what it's called.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't I say it was something with trees?
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe I was thinking
Yeah, because the cover is a big tree.
Thank you.
Like, yes. Guy.
I was basically. Like, where did I get trees from?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has different expansions, adds more. We haven't played this for so long that I can't even totally think of it, but it adds additional cards and all that kind of jazz. So we definitely need to bring that to the table again, but I think that enhances the game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adds some more.
It's a fun deck cool building things. Game. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those games that I think, I feel like it put Lucky Duck on the map, Lucky Duck games on the map, you know, and then really kind of pushed them forward.
I agree. I feel like it was kind of like a nice surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Too. Yeah. Because we had played some other games of theirs before this.
Oh, then, no, I just mean the game in general, but yeah, I suppose it was by Lucky Duck, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, but we liked, we're really big into deck building games, so it's kind of hard not to like a deck building game for us, for the most part. Speaking of, like, and we just talked about this recently, so I won't go into too much detail. Like, the Injustice expansion for the DC deck building game, like, that's a great expansion because it kind of does what the Plague expansion does for Orleans. It forces more player interaction and just, like, kind of certain things where this one's a little more mean, where it's just, you know, players going attacking other players and stuff like that, and everybody's got their own health meter and stuff like that, so you're able to, you know, kind of go at each other. It makes you feel like you're playing the video game if you've ever played the Injustice video game. But yeah, that's another one of those where I feel like the DC deck building game, is only enhanced by those expansions.
Yes.
And then lastly, I think I'll just kind of skim by.
It wouldn't even be lastly. I mean, we could go on and on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
We're just highlighting a couple that we think of. Of course, Kurt has his thoughts written down, and I just went off the cuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Which is okay.
Yeah.
The last game I'll talk about as far as like a great expansion is I think your first game purchase actually, which is Lords of Waterdeep.
Oh yeah.
So
you have that on your list?
I do.
I don't remember that.
I think I just added it not too long before we started here, but actually you saw it this last time I showed it to you.
Oh.
But Scoundrels of Skullport. The base game itself is amazing, but the expansion, it just takes it to another level.
Yes.
Like, it makes that game a game I want to play over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a heavy interaction with all the players and stuff like that, but this one brings those negative points with the skulls that you can get if you go to certain spaces. That it gives you a lot of reward, but you're taking a risk by taking these skulls too, by going in those certain spots. Because I think Skullport is the other the one map you get, and then what's the other one? Is it the Underworld or something like that?
Yeah.
Is the other board?
Undermountain.
Undermountain. Yeah. Right? Yep. I think you're right. And yeah, it's just it brings that much more like oomph to it.
Yeah.
You know. It's funny because I'm not really talking about the game that much. I'm just like appreciating like how amazing it is with that expansion.
Well, and that game, for those of you who have listened for quite some time now, that was the first game that I came home after a game night with some people that I used to work with and told Kurt, I need to buy this game.
Yeah.
And I bought that game, and I guess the rest was history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was, I don't even know how long ago. And then that one I coined as, like, one of my go-to games.
Yeah. Yeah, which was cool because, number one, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, you, like, don't really do D&D. So when your first love was a D&D board game, I was like, what is happening? I was like, this is cool as shit. You know, I love that, you know? And to go on top of it, like, it's a phenomenal game. Like, I'd probably, ranking games again, that'd probably be number two on my list. Like, yeah. It's just a game that we've with Orleans and with Lords of Waterdeep, We've
played the
crap out of, but we've also updated all the.
Oh yeah, we've enhanced them so much.
Yep. Yeah. So like for like Lord's Waterdeep, we've got like metal coins, and we've got like an insert and stuff like that. And Orleans, we actually had to buy a huge box for all the expansions and the geek bits and stuff like that.
Yep.
You know. Yeah. It's cool. And we continue to do that. I forgot, I have a little box with some Lords of Waterdeep, like, little figurines that we bought before we bought, like, some other stuff to do it. And I was like, what am I going to do with these guys? You know, just so we've kind of geeked up our games and stuff like that. So it's nice to have those games that, with those expansions, just kind of take them, you know, above and beyond. I put down a couple of games that I think that actually don't really need expansions. I think they're kind of fun on their own, even though they do have them. I don't think they necessarily need them to still be something that you can kind of time in and time out, you know, play and just enjoy. The one that kind of came to me first is Emotep. Because I know it has a smaller expansion that comes with the game, but that game is just so streamlined and so good to play on its own that I didn't necessarily think it needed an expansion, even though the expansion's great. I just, you know, it's a fun game, it's a mean game, and it's just, I don't know, it's just one of those that always just, to me, played well on its own. Are there any games that you...
I was afraid you were going to ask.
Yes!
Yay. Because why?
Because you're not prepared. I want to see what you're doing off the cuff.
Just give me some time. You know why I wasn't prepared? Because you were short-winded there.
Oh, so sorry.
You usually talk longer than that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure people are real excited about me not doing
that. So keep talking, and I'll think of something maybe.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So with like Emotep, it's just one of those things where you're putting stones on boats. You're sending boats to certain spots, and you know, depending upon the player, like you can screw people over like big time, because like each boat has a certain minimum you have to put a stone on there to deliver it to certain spots. And I always like to do the thing where it's like, okay, this boat has two spots for stones, and all you need is one stone to put it on there. And someone puts one stone, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to send you to this one place that's not going to get you that many points, or it's going to get you a card that's not going to be that worthwhile, you know? So I always love that kind of thing. I also like to play different strategies. Like the other day, we played this online with John, and I decided I was going to try to not sail any boats at all, which is impossible because you get to a certain point, you're almost kind of forced to sail a boat, because you either take stones, you put a stone on a boat, or you sail a boat. And you can get to a certain point where you have to sail. So, but I still did the thing where I was like, well, what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to not sail as much as I can, make everybody else make that decision and see where it goes. And then when it comes to my choice, then I can take that boat and I can sail it. I don't think it ended up turning out well. I think I ended up losing. But it was kind of a fun little strategy, though, because it's like, I don't necessarily have to do that all the time, doing the sailing the boats and getting them to the spots where I think they need to go. But I feel like that is probably the best strategy to win, is to actually find the opportune moments to sail boats, to screw other people, or do something good for yourself to help you win the game. And again, it seems obvious, but again, there's so many options on games to be able to win. So I was like, nowadays I like to try to do that more than just be like, well, I'll just play it the same because I just want to win. You know, I know there are people that are like that. We know people that are like that. Someone that's listening to this probably knows that. But anyway, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm not afraid to fail, because you know what? Even if I play a strategy that really sucks and it doesn't quite work out for me, maybe I figure something out along the way and I'm like, oh, this is the way to go. I know I've actually done that with Castles of Burgundy. I know I've played it differently and found a way to do certain things when I'm like, oh, I didn't realize this is a thing I could do, or this is a strategy. So it's nice to be able to do that. Okay, I think I've talked long enough. Do you want to talk
about... I didn't realize you were going to still talk about...
about Emotep? Emotep, yeah.
And then you just kept going about Emotep, and I thought, huh, that's what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am looking on VG Stats while you're talking about that, thinking, there has to be a way for me to look up all the expansions we have to maybe trigger something for me to go, huh, maybe that's not necessary. Nope, I can't. They're, like, not giving me enough leeway on it, and I just... Right now, you just have to keep talking, because I can't...
Okay. Well, here's one I think that you can... We can both agree. I think Fantastic Factories. I feel like that that's a game that doesn't necessarily need an expansion.
What, do they have two?
Yes. Well, at least two that we've gotten.
So it's weird, because... Yes and no, I guess, for me. I saw you had that on your list. And I guess... Yeah... Like, yes and no, because it's nice to have more cards.
Yeah. But they have so many cards in the original.
I know, but they have duplicates.
Yeah.
And you can't have duplicate factories.
That's true.
So, if you keep encountering duplicates of the ones that you already have, it's nice to have a variety of the ones that... of other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I saw that, I was like, I'm kind of like 60-40 thinking maybe I disagree with you on that one.
Yeah.
So that's why I was kind of excited for you to talk about it, because I was going to be like, I don't know if I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. And I don't know if I've referenced it or not, but it's not like this is definitely doesn't need one. It's like, it doesn't necessarily need one.
It's playable without a... expansion.
Yeah.
But most games are playable without expansions.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, it doesn't fault the game. Like, I wouldn't be bored playing the original board game.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think that the expansion is nice and enhances it and adds some extra elements to it. So I don't mind it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like everybody on BGG agrees with you. The two that we have are... Subterfuge and Manufaction. Subterfuge is actually rated a 7.4, which is great. But Manufactions is actually rated an 8, which is crazy, because I feel like expansions don't get rated that high. So that means that a lot of people... And that's almost 700 ratings. That's pretty great.
Yeah, so, yeah. They're all mine, actually.
So, yeah. So maybe that's wrong. Well, again, I'll just throw out a couple there. Again, it probably is not... it's great to have them, but it doesn't mean that, you know, they can't, you know, we can't enjoy the base game. A couple other games I was thinking of is, like, Clank. Like, I feel like Clank is really good. It has a lot of good replayability on it, but, the expansions are fun. But, again, I don't know if it necessarily needs them to be good, to have, you know, whatever. Captain is Dead. I feel like that's another one that, like, the expansions for those are more standalone.
Yeah.
So it's, like, not necessarily needed, but they're kind of a fun thing to do once you're...
Yeah, I think they're all on their own.
Yeah.
For that one.
Yeah.
I just saw one.
Yeah.
And I may retract this as we're talking about it, because it's been a long time since we played it, but Epic Resort... And Epic Resort's Villains Vacation expansion.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember what elements it even adds.
Yeah.
Because I like that game as is. So, granted, we supported Floodgate Games when we went to Con of the North, bought the expansion, things like this. We didn't just buy it to buy it. We bought it because we had Epic Resort already. But I can't remember even what elements it brings, and I don't think without it, it breaks the game, because we liked it before.
Yeah, it just introduces villains, new tourists, new workers, and an epic monster. So it adds a little bit to it, but nothing that's
like earth-shaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. God, that's a good game. That's another game I'd love to play again.
Yeah, I bet you we know that Mike likes it.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And then Mike got it for you, I think.
Yeah, did Mike? Oh, yeah.
Base came, yep.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
He introduced that to you. I bet you Jason would like it, too.
Mike's good about, like, finding, the hidden gem. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, baby.
I'll kind of gloss over a couple of expansions that I think are okay, but not great as well, just so you talk about that.
Well, not needed, you mean?
Not needed, yeah. Even though we just played it recently, and I think it's actually not too bad, but I don't know if it's necessary, is Seven Wonders Architects medals. You know, like the medals that they have, I don't know if they those are really needed, because it's like with Seven Wonder Architects, you're trying to build your wonder and score points that way, but you also score points for like fighting and science and stuff like that. And the medals are just kind of like almost objective thing, where it's like, if you get these first, you get that medal.
Yeah. Granted, we only played it once. However, usually, because it wasn't that long ago, I'd remember. And I don't even remember what we were supposed to do with that game, because I like the game as is.
Yeah.
Like, We are silly when we play that game. It's just a really easy, fun game. You're right. I don't think you need it.
Yeah, because
we were excited to have it.
Yeah, because it just adds the medals. It adds more science tokens, and it adds two more wonders. Which the wonders are cool, but it's like, do we really need it? I don't know. I don't really think so.
No.
And another one that we actually haven't played in a while, and we have the expansions for it, but for some reason, like, we don't use them that much, is Splendor. We have, like, the Cities of Splendor.
Oh,
that was, like, huge at Gen Con, like, I don't remember, 2019 or something like that.
Anything Splendor is huge.
Yeah.
It was, at least.
And I love Splendor. I think Splendor's a great game, but... And I'm not necessarily... getting down on all of the Cities of Splendor that's in that box. I think there was just a couple modules that was like, this one's not my favorite. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, So those are a couple of those that, you know, I think don't necessarily need expansions. But I do think some that actually do, and I think this is kind of what we'll end on. I'll kind of talk about a couple of games that I think that actually need an expansion.
And when you say need an expansion, like, the expansion exists for them now?
Yes.
Or...
Yes. Yes, correct.
They could use one to enhance the game further.
Yeah. I think with a lot of games that we'd love, like, we'd love to see expansions. I think these are games that have expansions that I think, if they didn't have the expansion, might get kind of old. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I think one of the big ones, and I think a lot of people talk about it, is Catan, the original Catan. I feel like with that one, the being able to hold certain resource cards and stuff like that, and not wanting to trade and stuff like that, I feel like kind of hurts the game. And I know that people say that if you get the expansion Cities and Knights, the Cities and Knights expansion, it really... takes some of those problems with the original base games and fixes it and makes it more playable.
So is Cities and Knights an expansion?
Yes.
That can only be played with the base game?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. I'm not... Like, you can go ahead and stone me for those that are listening, because I'm not that familiar with Catan.
Yeah. Well, we just...
Because we just bought it not that long ago, believe it or not.
The Ridge.
Yeah, the original one, because we had... We have so many other things, and you need, what, three people to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we're starting to incorporate that in there, but we just, that was never really one that was high on our list.
Yep. And we had the junior one that we played with Logan that we really liked, but we had never gotten into the base game. So that's kind of, we've gotten into it late in life.
Yeah. So I'm not like super familiar with whether or not it's a standalone or not.
Yeah. Another one I think that works well with having expansion is Machikoro.
Yeah.
Yep. I feel like the original base game.
I don't know why I like, ugh. that was kind of like a laugh in agreement.
I have severe feelings about this game. But yeah, I think we, you know, with just the base game itself, with the dice rolling and the cards and stuff like that, I feel like there's not enough there. And with Millionaire's Row and Harbor and stuff like that, I feel like that really beefed that game up to where it was more likable than having just the base game by itself.
Yes. I mean, we used to play the toots out of that game.
For sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. Another game that I really like that Tracy doesn't like is Dominion. I feel like the original Dominion by itself is just kind of almost, it's not broken, but it's not as fun as when you put, when you incorporate some of the expansions that it comes with.
Right. Yeah, I think that helps, but like, doesn't, it might make me like it like 1% more.
Yeah, Tracy, a known not very much liker of Dominion, so.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah. And it's funny because we got rid of it because I was like, for a long time, we didn't have very many players. And it was just like, if we had a game night, it was just me and Mike mostly. And sometimes you'd show up and sometimes, now that we have more players.
Now I'm dependable.
That Dominion might come out more, but I'm like, I'm not going to bring it out. If, you know, Tracy doesn't like it, I'm not going to bring it out. That's just, it's silly to, you know, bring a game out to game night that others don't like, you know, or would rather play something else.
Well, and to be honest with you, there is not very many games that I don't like.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why we don't own it.
So I'm very opinionated when it comes to things that I really don't care for.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not like I'm a super hater on it. Again, adding an expansion definitely adds more to it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just like, eh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a really good describing, a descriptive word on that.
For sure. Another game that's fairly recent is Marvel United. I feel like the base game is a fun little deal, but getting some of those expansions and getting some of those other figures and stuff like that and be able to play with certain heroes and other villains. You could probably say that with a lot of like games that have an IP attached to it, like Star Wars or whatever like that. Like those base games, you know, if they have expansions, a lot of times the expansions are needed to kind of keep the love going for those games. And then lastly, I'll talk about a game that we haven't actually played in a long time. And even though I feel like the base game is great, I think it actually, having the expansions just really keeps me wanting to play it more. And that's Imperial Settlers.
Oh, I'm like, what game are we going to talk about?
Yeah. And that's a game we have not played in a while. I've been actually thinking about bringing it to the table and introducing it to Jason, one of our new board game buddies, because it's just, that's just a game that,
yeah, you really like this game. Like, I'm okay with it. It's not like I don't like it, but we haven't played it in a really long time.
Yeah,
I think we need to bring it to the table again, but we also need to bring it to the table with like some sort of enhancement.
Yeah, yeah,
like, for sure. You said it does need,
yeah.
Because it can go, that's one of them that could get old fast.
Yeah, it can. Yeah. So it's nice to have those other factions that you can use to fight against. So basically, you're certain factions that are trying to take over each other and stuff like that. And every faction has certain abilities and stuff like that. So it's nice to have options, you know, to be able to do that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, there's so many more expansions we could talk about. We're not going to continue to sit there and you know, pick every single game and every single expansion that we have, that kind of
thing. Well, and we're definitely those types of board gamers that don't steer away from buying expansions. I think there are some out there that, like, might get angry about expansions or don't want to spend the money on expansions because of this, that, or the other thing. Because some are, like, close to the cost of the base game.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of them are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Some of them are not.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you just do your research.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You don't always.
Yeah. But it's nice, too, because sometimes instead of, like, buying, like, oh, let's buy, you know, a couple of new games, why not buy an expansion for something that you really love?
Yeah.
You know, and be able to continue that love for that game.
Yep.
It takes up less space. Plus, you're being able to hype the games that you love more and more. So why not?
Right.
Yeah. So are there any expansions that you really love? Are there any expansions that you feel like just, there's just no reason to have them out there? What, is there any games that you feel like need an expansion? Like, don't even have one and need one. I couldn't even think of that. Like, I wanted to kind of include that in this episode, but it's like, I don't even know.
Are you looking for me to answer?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I was like racking my brain
for the funny there. Thing is it looked like you were going to say something. That's why I paused and then you didn't. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, sorry. I was really trying to think hard quick for a second
there. I'm sure there's something that will come to our heads right when we're done with this. So, yeah, if you have anything that you feel like, if you have any opinions on any of the things that we've talked about, make sure you check us out on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We also have a TikTok. We're also doing YouTube stuff. If you're looking for like some fantasy role playing, we're actually doing that live on YouTube now. Every other Tuesday, we have a campaign called Time After Time where we're doing a little time travel, and our characters don't exactly know what's going on, but they will know soon. So if you're willing to check that out, subscribe to our YouTube channel and check that out. So until next time, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG Cast. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.